deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar-Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 58 of Flashpoint, and given that it's getting, we're well into winter, I thought we'd have a nice cozy fireside chat, and a good fireside chat usually only involves a couple of people, so that's my excuse for why there's only two of us, and the second part of the twosome is the wonderful Simon Potter. How are you, sir?
I am good, it's just me and my 50,000 million cold germs.
Yes.
We are all doing well.
Simon's unwell. He's going to, you know, leave no something unturned. Is it leaf or branch? No something unturned to ensure that he doesn't cough.
Thing unturned.
Yeah, no thing unturned.
I'm drinking brandy.
And listen, I haven't actually asked you, Simon, even before the show, never got to ask you, did you like, I sent you a screenshot after the last episode once I loaded up my new loading screen for Star Wars The Old Republic, based on your excellent advice last episode with Lumpy the Wookiee. Did you like it?
I have no memory of any such thing crossing my desk.
Or you've just blanked it out?
Probably the second one.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was very proud. As soon as I got off the podcast and edited it, I found a good picture of Lumpy the Wookiee, and it's now my loading screen on Star Wars The Old Republic.
You're an embarrassment.
Yeah,
I'm glad you're on another server.
That's right. All right, so speaking of which, let's launch straight into Republic news.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic news.
And as much as we're launching into Republic news, sorry, I need to put in an apology for Christy, who's not here tonight. I believe she's still in the process of house moving and is set up but still having internet issues. So, hi, Christy. All right,
hello.
Republic news. The big news, I suppose, for local, so when I say local Australian and New Zealand players, is that we can now do our server transfers, given that we know that the local servers are going to be closed down. There's a free server transfer, although it'd want to be bloody free. Available right now. So, Simon, I believe you've already started the process?
Started and finished, yes.
That makes sense.
Had a bit of a trawl through all the characters I've got on a variety of different servers and had a good old cleaning of the house. And, went flawlessly, apart from a couple of name conflict issues on the destination server, but that's only to be expected.
Yeah, and on that, I was rather amused. So I did my transfers last night, and I only have three tunes that I've actually leveled up to any significant extent, and they're the ones I've transferred. One of them, so not my main two, Weezen Henry McGurk and Squirt or Twonkalonk McGurk and Squirt, they transferred and not surprisingly didn't have a name conflict. But my Sith warrior, who was called Burgermeister, Burgermeister, had a name conflict.
Yeah, I'm not surprised about that.
Yeah,
okay. No, I could see other people having the name Burgermeister.
Hey, there you go. The transfer's flawless. I think I've said in a previous episode that if the Blizzards of the world could organise a server transfer service that was as cheap, i.e. free, and as easy as what this one was, I'd be quite pleased. No issues from my end, and sounds like yours went pretty simply.
Yeah, all went fine. Legacy transferred over okay. Just re-entered my now non-unique legacy name.
Yeah.
So that was fine. There's no conflict there, at least. Found substitute or and couple of cases. It was actually a name I preferred to the original one, so that wasn't too bad. And despite what it says on the instruction page when you're doing the transfer, that the character has to be level 10 or above, I managed to transfer two level 3s over without a problem.
Okay.
So there we go. They may have made a mistake there. I may have been lucky, or maybe they're just lying to us. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, and another thing, for any of you out there who still haven't done the transfer, remember to go in to each of the characters if you think that there's any mail that is unread, because the mail and any items that are attached to it, so you know, any of the crap that I was going to say Blizzard, that BioWare's emailed you for buying this or participating in that, if you've got anything like that in your mailbox, unread, unclaimed, grab it, put it in your inventory before you do the transfer. Because the alert you get when you're doing the transfer is more of a reminder than anything else. It says, caution, you have unread or unclaimed items. Even after I'd shifted them, it was still saying
still
that.
Still there, yeah.
So, yeah, go through and just double check. And it's a really good opportunity just to have a bit of a spring clean as well.
Now, I'm probably in an absolute minority, and I could be the only person, but I actually was a little bit disappointed. I kept my original emails, you know, welcome to the expansion or whatever, and I just like them as a, as dumb as it sounds, a, I don't know, historical document to look back on as far as how long I've been with the game. Well, you lose all that. So I was a bit disappointed by that.
My main characters lost that anyway because they transferred over from West Coast servers to the APAC servers.
Yeah, that's true. I've lost
and now they're transferring back again. So.
Yeah, true. I've lost the originals of starting with the game. That's true.
Mm.
So, yeah, so do get in and do those servers. From browsing a couple of sources, not least of which the Star Wars The Old Republic Gamers of the World group on Facebook, which has a few hundred members now, the majority of Australian people seem to have transferred to the Harbinger. So, and Simon, sorry, have you already just said that? I don't think you mentioned which server.
I've gone over to, I don't know how to pronounce it.
That's all right.
Berrigan. I keep pronouncing it in my head. I pronounce it Bergen, so I'm equating it to a loaf of bread. I don't know why, but not? There we go. Because it's a RP PVE server, so and I believe that you can actually get some RP going there. Not as much as the Evan Hawk, where of course our good friend Ed is hopefully still thrashing away.
Mm.
But as long as it's not ERP, I'll be happy.
Yes. So, Harbinger seems to be the... So if you're either looking to join an Oceanic Guild or then the Harbinger seems to be the main place that most guilds have transferred to, but I have no doubt there'll be some on others.
Definitely. The Harbinger, I think, is just probably the busiest server on the West Coast anyway. It's the mecca. But the other two servers have definitely got plenty of traffic.
Yeah.
And let's face it, if you really want to move one of your characters over to the Harbinger, you can do that. You just do one of the paid transfers. Just don't try and transfer all your characters over because that will cost you a fortune.
So I never noticed because I only did the free. What does it cost to do a transfer?
I don't think they've actually
released the price as yet,
yeah. But the indicative price is that it's going to be 400 or 500 cartel coins. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's higher than that. And let's face it, if you've got half a dozen characters that you want to move, or even the full 12, that's going to add up pretty damn fast.
Yeah. Otherwise, there's not a hell of a lot to talk about with Star Wars The Old Republic beyond, you know, what we're doing in the game. I know there's a live stream happening by where a Q&A live stream Monday US time, so sort of about the time you're perhaps listening to this podcast. There's some conjecture that BioWare may announce the next expansion at E3, although it's purely a conjecture thread on the official forum, so there's been no confirmation from BioWare on that. But that said, I wouldn't be totally surprised if they at least said that there was one in the works, given that they've would be releasing them relatively quickly as their smaller expansions.
Yeah, well, 2.3 is supposed to be, or there's been a claim that it's going to be the biggest patch since 2.0.
Okay.
So, supposed to include new flashpoints, new daily areas, new recurring event. Hopefully that means it is a new recurring event. It's not just a new occurrence of a recurring event, because, I think we're all heartily sick of the Gree at this point.
Yes.
Although it is interesting that they've also mentioned that significant graphical upgrades are going to be part of it as well. What that means, they haven't clarified, but whether that means it's going to be some sort of optimization in the textures, or whether they're going to be adding a new level of bling, I don't know. I mean, they've already had a pretty decent crack at upgrading the shadows some time ago, as I think everyone will recall. So what this particular significant graphical upgrade would be, it's hard to say, really is. A lot of conjecture out there, obviously,
as to
what it might be. I've heard speech bubbles.
That's been in the ask for a long time from roleplays. Yeah.
So who knows, maybe. Perhaps a significant graphical upgrade will be being able to sit on chairs, other than the half dozen in the known universe that your ass can actually make contact with.
Yes.
So, yeah, but I'd be very interested to see what that is. But that's due early August. And, of course, there's June 11's got 2.2, which I think basically is just going to be, Nightmare.
Yeah.
A nightmare mode for Terror from Beyond. And, I'm not sure there's a lot of... Oh, what else was there? Unified fleet chat channel for each faction.
Oh, yeah, well, that'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah, that might be okay. So we'll see how that goes. I think the really sad news, though, is that the long-suffering PvP crowd aren't going to see anything until patch 2.4.
So that's, second half of the year, isn't it?
Oh, well, that's well into it. I mean, that's heading towards October.
Yeah.
It's actually probably is October.
Yeah, I don't know. You can dissect to death the fact that how they're doing content updates, and I still don't feel like there's a solid roadmap. Using Secret World as an example, and they're probably the leaders in this, in that they've provided a pretty significant roadmap for the coming 6 to 12 months, and I just never get that feeling out of BioWare to the same extent.
No, it doesn't feel as substantial. I think Marco was pretty good for a first crack, but I don't think anyone's going to argue that it's a full blown expansion.
No.
Although I think it was worth the money. I'm certainly not going to argue on that point. But I know that they really want to support PvP, but they keep saying that, but they don't really seem to be delivering.
Well, particularly for local players, just ask any PvP-er how happy they are about the server closures.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the added lag's going to be catastrophic for a number of them, even with using proxies and so forth. So, yeah, but in all honesty, I think most of the diehard PvP-ers left quite a long time ago, and I'm not sure how many of them stuck around after they may have come back for Markab or not. Hard to say.
Yeah. So, well, that's the state of play. I know we always start out with Star Wars: The Old Republic, but we're actually going to devote the rest of this episode to Marvel Heroes, because since last episode it's launched. So nothing else for Star Wars: The Old Republic, Simon?
Nothing that springs to mind.
It's fun. We're still leveling. It's fun. Enjoying it.
Yeah. I remember what I was going to say. Yes. The return of the double XP weekends coming up. So that's something there for everyone to have a look at. And of course, with 2.2 on the 11th, which is 2 days from the time of recording here, you can look forward to the Gree being scaled up to level 55 if you feel like getting your Gree on again.
And I don't have the XP weekend details, but I thought it was around the 21st. That weekend of the 21st was the first weekend, or possibly the one after.
Well, it's supposed to return this summer. Oh, hang on. Here we go. It's right in front of me. Starting June 22nd, for three weekends, players will be able to earn double XP with various buffs. So June 22nd forward for three weekends. Right. So, yeah.
Excellent. All right. So let's we'll move on to Marvel Heroes. I don't have anything from Secret World unless you do, Simon. I played a bit, still loving it. Actually being semi-competent is making me enjoy it even more now.
Yeah, it's amazing how that works.
It does help in a big way. So nothing to add there.
No, I'm still downloading it, actually. I've decided to do clean installs rather than try and copy the block of the data over from the old machine.
No worries.
That's taking a while.
Yeah, it does. Speaking of which, so let's jump into Marvel Heroes because we've all had that download. Not that it's any worse than any others, but it's still big enough. So it's now being live for the non-Ultimate pack, and I forget the name of the other pack. Anyway, the big pack and the nearly as big pack people got early access, and we'll talk about early access issues in a minute. But it's been launched essentially just under a week, unless I'm getting my weeks mixed up, but I'm sure it was only early last
week. Sounds about right.
Launch yet.
Yep.
So it's in action. Simon and I, with our usual organisation, haven't thought about how we're going to talk about Marvel Heroes, but I suppose let's start with you, Simon, about your general impressions of it.
Well, unlike Dave, I am not a Diablo player. I've never actually played Diablo before, so the whole thing's really, really more of a novelty. Having to point and click where you want your character to go and working on an isometric basis. The only other game I've played like that with any regularity is The Simpsons Tapped Out, which is slightly different. But I like it. I'm quite happy with it, quite impressed with it. There doesn't seem to be too much in the way of lag. I don't think there'd be a massive amount of data coming from the servers anyway.
No.
The graphics, as you'd expect with any of these isometric ones, where you've got a very controlled viewpoint, much like StarCraft, you can, because you've got the viewpoint locked off, you can make everything very pretty. And it is a very pretty game. The heroes are very well rendered. The animations are quite beautifully done. The backgrounds are excellent, and the way things pop in and out to reveal your hero. So if your hero's walking behind a building that's between him and you, part of it or all of it will just go away. And that works really quite elegantly, and you really just don't notice it after a while. The combat seems like it's, I haven't gotten that far into it, but it looks like it's got a bit of depth to it, which I look forward to taking apart. The other great thing about it, though, is that each of the missions are fairly short. It's the sort of thing you can just jump into and jump out of. It's much more of a casual game than something like Tor is. So that's quite good, just on especially the days where you don't have a lot of time to commit to doing an operation or a flashpoint or something like that. It's the sort of game you can just drop into, beat the crap out of some baddies, and get your jollies and get on with the rest of your day. So that's my general impressions. Yeah. What about you, David?
Yeah, look, the same. It's a lot of fun, and this will be my first and only comment on the Diablo 3. So, I mean, I'll put a link to my review on the website, which mentions it as well. Look, as a Diablo 3 player that completed only on normal mode, albeit the full thing, the similarities are just huge. That's not a bad thing because it works well, and I agree with you, Simon. I like the way they do things, and Diablo is the same as far as the buildings disappearing if you're walking behind them, and although there's less buildings and stuff in Diablo 3, it's more open. If you ignore the dungeons, that is. So it's good fun. I love the cutscenes. The cutscenes have been very faithful to the Marvel universe. They're very retro looking in that they're not like you'd expect with an MMO cutscene, is full 3D action. They are very much like a 2D comic. Well, not 2Ds have been unfair, actually. You'll understand when you look at it. It's sort of partly 3D. They're fun. They set up the story nicely. The range of heroes is great. Or it's not bad if you're a free player. If you like Simon Iron as an Ultimate Pack owner, there's a lot. Although I was very bemused because I always wanted to play Daredevil because he's my favourite Marvel character, and was very bemused. And it was probably always obvious that it's one of the five core characters free to players can have. So I probably had no need whatsoever to buy the Ultimate Pack, but that's life.
No, but it was more of a commitment.
It was, yeah.
To the game, and just, at least that's the way I look at it. I think why did I spend $200 on this? But I don't regret it because I think they've done a really nice job, and I can see that this thing's going to have some strong legs. It's going to go, and it's going to go well. It is, and I always knew this was going to be a problem. I remember in the forums for DC Universe Online, when Marvel Heroes was announced, that you were going to be able to play as your favorite hero rather than have to create your own as you do with DCUO, and going, well, I don't want to play a game where there's 50 Spider-Men all sort of milling around. And there is a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I was trying to get to a vendor, and there was this sort of weirdly morphing thing in front of me, as in the thing. And then after a couple of seconds, I realized it was three identical things clipping into each other.
Yeah.
So, you do get a bit of that. There was a lot of
Deadpools.
Orcs. I didn't see any Deadpools.
I'd argue that was the most common one I've come across, is Deadpool.
Oh, well, I ended up playing as Daredevil to start with.
Yeah.
But I've gone for the black costume with the red logo.
That's spooky. Same.
It's the best outfit. I mean, you don't want to be Daredevil where you rely on sound and you're walking around with bits of metal clanking on you.
That's right. That's embarrassing, crazy. Embarrassing admission, though, is that I never read the instructions on the Ultimate Pack well enough and went out and used some of my G's, as they call them, in the shop to buy that black costume.
Oops.
Yeah, so
you didn't go to your stash first.
No, I didn't go to my stash first, and so I was a bit peeved when I'd spent something like, it was a fair few G's to buy the black costume, and I had no need to. But anyway, that's just typical me.
Well, let that be a lesson for all you young folks out there.
And speaking of the G's and at least a compensation, so for those that did buy the packs, there were some significant issues with access. So early access wasn't provided in the way that it was promised. Particularly the people that missed out most were the next level down, because I still felt like I got a half decent level of access, but there were still issues. And they announced in the last couple of days the compensation. So depending on which pack you get, I think it was 2,000 or 3,000 Gs. Anyway, thousands of Gs accredited to your account. And sometime in the future, a cosmetic pet. And all they're saying is it'll be worth waiting for, but it will be credited to your account.
Oh, so, goody, because I love pets.
Yeah, well, I'm a bit like that. Just like, yeah, really? And I mean, it'll obviously be a Marvel Universe pet, and I haven't actually sat down and thought about what that could be. But
if it's not a Skrull, I'll be very upset.
Oh, yeah, so that'd be cool. I'm just trying to think in the X-Men part of things. I'm sure there's a dragon. Didn't someone have a dragon? A little dragon. Oh, I think I'm thinking of Magic. She had a dragon and she was in the New Mutants and stuff. Anyway, I won't get onto comics. But, yeah, so it's and let's then get a little bit negative. What are the things that have really unimpressed you, if any?
I don't know that I've really played enough to be too critical at the moment. I think probably the big thing, and it's not a big thing at all, it's just the one thing I've noticed, is that like almost every game, they haven't recorded enough dialogue for the mobs.
Yes.
So you get the same thing being said over and over and over and over again. And you get that with every game, but yeah. It would be nice if someone actually found a way of getting around that. really.
Yeah.
You think by now that, I mean, would another hour in the recording booth, would it be that difficult to write a few more lines?
That's right. Actually, that links well to the story. So I mentioned the cutscenes. With the overall story is nothing that flash, although most people argue that superhero comic stories aren't usually that flash at times.
At times.
Yes. There are many, many exceptions to that rule. But the story is okay. The bosses are well-spaced. The bosses are cool. As far as who, so I mean, the early bosses, I'm about a level 14 or something now. I've done a bit, but I've probably taken on a dozen bosses or whatever. You know, Electro, Dr. Octopus. Dr. Octopus animation was a bit lame.
Yeah, it just kept doing the same thing. Yeah. But,
oh God, I'm forgetting half of them now. I'm trying to think who that. And I stumbled across one of the good things that they do, and I'm not sure they did this in Diablo, not that I'm going to constantly compare, but the event bosses. So a little bit like Guild Wars 2, there are spontaneous events that pop up, and I just happened to stumble across Venom there at one stage and jumped in with about 25 other people to thrash him.
Oh, that's always fun.
And it is fun, but once you get to that level of numbers, with it being a click fest to fight,
yeah,
I mean, you can use you got your keyboard shortcuts as well, but it's without a sort of tab targeting option, and I don't believe that's there, and I'll be embarrassed if it is. You're trying to target the enemy amongst that blur of stuff is nearly impossible. Particularly if Venom's jumping all over the place, which he was.
Yeah, it is impossible to actually target anything.
Yeah,
in that I've found that as well. I was quite pleased to see that there are little rewards for exploring, for having a look around the entire map. That's been nice to see a couple of those little things with some bonus chests after you fight your way through the goons.
No, so it's good. Overall, I'm enjoying it. I'll certainly be sticking with it. Like any of these isometric ones, they need to release new content if they want to keep people engaged. I know at Avengers Tower, there's already the room that shows you that there are dailies. PV, I think it was exploring the beta, was it, of PvP? Anyway, there's PvP coming, but it's not complete. And there was something else. There's crafting, which, if you like that sort of thing, is okay. The vendor system is nothing out of the ordinary, although I do like building experience with vendors, so they offer, so if you donate items from your inventory back to them, the build experience, that's good.
It's better than having a CE vendor in the VIP lounge, that's for sure.
Yes.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the whole fracas with the dyes from the CE vendor, did we?
probably
best left.
Yeah, we'll save that one. So look, for what it costs, which is nothing, to check it out, if you want something different in the MMO sphere, it's well worth a look, particularly if you don't mind clicking.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you're looking for an immersive story and an opportunity to play out your dream as a Marvel hero, this is probably not going to be it, but if you want a bit of fun with characters you know and love, then yeah, absolutely give it a shot.
Yes, fun. Oh, and one other criticism I was going to make is I would love, and I don't know that this is a reasonable expectation. All right, I've got is it 100 characters we've got access to?
Oh, so eventually.
They're not now, but
it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a
coming.
Lot.
Yes.
From what I can see, if I, like, I've fought through to level 14 or whatever as Daredevil, if I want to suddenly change to the Hulk, he's level 1.
Mm.
So you can't change heroes throughout the story and progress in that if you, obviously at a level 14, if you've got a level 1, you're going to get your ass handed to you. So I don't know.
Yeah, and the same with the medals you get for taking out the bosses. You want to wear them for their buff. It's bound to that character, not to the account. So, yes, you do have to be a bit selective. Also, the drops, which is nothing terribly surprising here. Some of them are for your character. Some of them are for characters you might intend to play in the future. Or never, Hello, Miss Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I'm not even thinking of the other because I'm a little bit, I suppose because we play so many games, the idea of starting again with another character, I just don't find the levels that engaging that I'm willing to run around Hell's Kitchen, for example, particularly having done the beta a second, third, fourth, fifth time.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really not so much the levels you're exploring, it's the character and the combat style that, that you're exploring.
Well, you're certainly not exploring a different storyline because unlike, say, Star Wars or WoW, whatever, where you have a class storyline, there's certainly not that present in the game and it wouldn't be probably reasonable to expect too much of that. But yeah, I don't know. I suppose I'm not dedicated enough, but I can't imagine after doing beta and leveling up Daredevil that I'm going to go back and level up Hulk or whoever from level one again. Don't know.
Yeah, but then give it a bit of time because I can't tell you how many, and I mentioned this, I don't know how many times now, but the number of times I've played through Korriban.
Yeah.
And, you know, I must have done it 15 times by now. But it's actually kind of comforting.
Yeah, true.
Going back there, because you know what's coming, you know what you need to do, and it's actually kind of therapeutic. But that might be the obsessive compulsive in me. But I think give it a bit of time. Once you've gotten past level 14 to level 20 or whatever with Daredevil, you might actually find that. What would the Hulk be like? What would Wolverine be like? Yeah. What's a bit of claw action going to be like going through this? What's the difference going to be? How's it, you know, what is there a different strategy, different application?
I mean, this is one, if it was a single player game, I'd be more likely, but because I get to see, and I love the Hulk's fighting mechanics and Thor's kicks butt too.
Yeah.
To a large extent. I mean, they've all got the different things, but I get to see a lot of that, and I suppose, I don't know. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. And I don't actually know, what's the max level? I keep thinking, I must look that up, but I've never have. Is it, I know in Diablo it was like, don't quote me on this, 30 or, no, 50 or something it was. I'm assuming it's the same in this.
It's probably something like that, but yeah. I haven't bothered checking either.
No.
And it's probably not really too worth worrying about you might find that they bump it up one or two levels with each content pack that rather than doing a humongous cap increase.
Yeah, no, agreed. There's no shortage of content for expansions, that's for sure, with the Marvel Universe.
So, oh, amen to that.
Yeah, they won't run out of stuff in a hurry there.
Yeah, and you'll probably find that the congestion with some of these events will start to die down as players get a bit more spread out across the game and the levels. I mean, it's always a bit of a click fest, is like that in the early days of Guild Wars 2 or when any new WoW expansion comes out.
Yeah,
you can't see the vendors for the pandas, basically. So I don't think there's anything new there. And it is because we've been watching this for such a long time, it's easy to forget that the game's really only been out in the wild for a very short time. So the sort of congestion's kind of to be expected.
Yeah, no, signs are promising for sure.
I think so.
So while we're talking comics, I just want to do a brief plug for our sister site, The Comics Herald, because we're doing a giveaway of Oz Comic Con tickets. So any of our Melbourne listeners that are interested in getting along to Oz Comic Con, we've got two weekend double passes to give away, and so I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Anything else game-wise, Simon? I know a little birdie tells me you've been playing a bit of Minecraft. Any highlights of that for you over the last fortnight?
Nothing that anyone listening to this podcast would want to hear about. I will spare them.
Fair enough. I'm just trying to think what else I played. It's been very much Marvel Heroes, Star Wars The Old Republic. And I'm still excited about the consoles coming out at the end of the year, but that's about it, really.
Well, you know, I'm beginning to wonder whether it's really worth paying attention to the things, because when you look at the way things are going, they're starting to get more and more like PCs.
Yeah. That's true.
Because really, if let's face it, and most people who are listening to this are probably doing it on a black box that you can watch TV on and watch videos and browse the internet and play games on. And hello, it's a bloody personal computer. So I didn't think convergence was actually going to bring us all the way back to the PC, but that seems to be
why it's going, yeah.
The way it's going. You look at what the Xbox One does, although Microsoft has clarified some of the what they're going to be doing with the whole always on bizzo. It needs the machine apparently needs to connect up once every 24 hours, and I think you get like an hour's worth of offline gaming before the machine needs to call home. And if it doesn't get to call home, you won't be able to play games on there until it can.
So 24 hours is a little bit better than not at all, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, there are some people out there, and I'm thinking of our ever faithful listener, Gail, who's literally having a port built into her forearm so that she's always connected to her Xbox. That's how dedicated she is. She loves it. It's the centre of her media, multimedia existence as a human being.
Okay.
We must get her on one day.
Yes. And she could tell us about Call of Duty.
Absolutely. All right, so are we wrapping it up? I don't even have any decent movie or book reviews. Haven't been to see a movie. I already talked about the book I'm reading. We've got nothing.
Well, Star Trek 2 is awesome. And Pacific Rim, Guillermo del Toro, looks like he's produced another good popcorn fest there. Other than that, I watched Tomb Raider on Blu-ray last night for the first time in ages, and that's still a bloody good film.
Yeah, I must watch that too. I watched Goodfellas. You know, better late than never. Apparently, it's one of the best movies of all time, and I can say.
Have you only just got around to watching that?
Yeah, I know. The only reason is thanks to the wonderful movie show where Margaret and David profiled it, I don't know, 6 months ago as one of the best movies of all time. I thought I must watch it, and I finally watched it.
Ah, I don't know how to go that far, but it's worth it for Joe Pesci.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, it's gold. So, and I was going to make a really inappropriate joke about Pacific Rim being about a peaceful guy with a big tongue, but then I thought I better not.
Yeah, I'm glad you avoided that.
Yeah.
Lucky.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there. As always, we love your feedback and we live day to day in the hope that someone will send us a question or a topic for discussion on contact@oceanicgamer.com. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/TheOceanicGamer. Simon's Twitter address, which is much more interesting and informative, is twitter.com/RPGBeatsRL. Christy, you didn't turn up. It's twitter.com/EvilCrispyCream. I keep going to say virtual drop pair, which is Christy's old one. And we're on Facebook, facebook.com/TheOceanicGamer. As well. Simon, thank you as always. Oh, and a bit of a promo for next time. Thanks to Simon's great idea, we're going to restart doing some guild spotlighting. So particularly if you're a Star Wars The Old Republic guild and you'd like to jump on the podcast for a bit of a chat about your guild and what you're up to, drop us a line. Otherwise, we'll start seeking you out.
Yes. Tell us how you've gone with the move and any tribulations or problems you've had re-establishing your guild, and or if you've merged like my old guild Praxium did with Malevolence, and I've no idea what's happened to them now because I don't even know what server they're moving to. Never mind.
Because I mentioned last episode I joined a guild whose name I couldn't remember, and it's Proteus.
Oh, that's a good name.
And I believe they've moved to Harbinger, I'm not sure, but because I just moved unilaterally, I'm not in a guild anymore, so I must look those guys up because they're lovely. So, all right, so yeah, let us know if you'd like to be profiled. Again, thank you, sir, and we'll talk in a fortnight, which is not going to be long before PAX. Oh, still a little while, but yeah.
Indeed, but it might be enough time for me to rejoin a guild, assuming that The poor souls that have to deal with my fumblings are willing to accept me into it, but never mind.
We'll get there.
Hi, guys.
We'll get there. All right, thanks, everyone. Talk to you in a fortnight.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.